continue. And after.
Live from Free Radio Santa Cruz, November 2012. What's the date, do you know?
19th.
The 19th? 20th?
21st.
And we have a phone call. You guys want to start talking? Hello? Hello?
We're on the air.
So what do you think, Bill? What's the first thing, Jen?
I think too much.
You think it's
hard to think about every night.
We had a phone call.
I wiped out. I didn't know who I was.
So you want to introduce yourselves? We're on the air. We're recording.
Yeah, this is Dr. William Paul Adamski coming to you from WABX, formerly WABX in Detroit, Michigan. All the hits. Formerly played by my brother, Michael Chalmers. Dedicating this show to my wife, Lilavate Debbie, alias Lisa Adamski, and to our children, and to my other wives, but primarily to my friend, mentor, eternal partner, Lisa Ann Adamski. Hey kids, what's cooking?
All right, got good sound on that last bit. Got to get close to the mic.
I got my friend with me. Got my friends with me. Actually, got Danny here. Danny boy.
Danny's going to be a co-host here?
Yes, he is.
All right. You know, you don't have to use your real name since this is a federal crime.
All right, this is Braja Haridas of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat.
Namaste.
Personal friend of Mayor Baba. Yes, representing us tonight from the United States Air Force is Terry Arnold, also known as the boss. You can get you a good deal on a cell phone if you're a vet, but don't take any advice from him on where to live.
Oh, good job, Bill. That's a good opening. I'm Danny, and there's a lot of topics going on because we have troops coming home, and some of them are going to end up being homeless. So I think that homeless issue is the first agenda. Just to see the despair that I've been around this country within the last 10 years, and it is not good. I mean, San Diego's really caters to the homeless. But then you start going to different towns up the coast and inland and so forth, and the laws always seem to be the same, but they can tolerate it in certain places where in other places they don't tolerate it. So what to do about it? Who knows? I don't think anybody really has the answer. We had a big movement in the 60s, and I'm sure there are people that remember that, and now at an older age they're having to go through the same thing.
I was there then, and I'm here now.
You were a survivor.
I made it to the far shore. Not driftwood. Move over, John Lodge.
Well, you know, a lot of cities like Santa Cruz is considered more liberal than other cities towards the home, but they still, now they're doing sweeps. They're sweeping everybody out of the area. The whole idea is they can't get rid of you constitutionally, but if they harass you without the public really knowing how much you're harassed, maybe you'll just move to another city and then you're out of.
You can't
no
get
longer
rid
their
of
problem. Yeah, yeah. The thing is, every city's trying to do that, so where are you going to go?
I'm staying in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I second that. I think a lot of the big problem is right now is Social Security. There are a lot of people on the streets with Social Security, and they say, well, you get a little bit more money for being homeless. Now, what does that do? Most rents, you need to save up for two or three. Well, you've been on the
can't. Well, if you're SSI, you can't have more than $2,000, and they give you $1,000. You can't really have more than $1,000 in the bank, so you can barely, you know, get first and last.
Catch 22 there.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? That's a real serious issue. That some of that health care money, that $1 trillion package, should be doled out for. You know, they close these bases down. You got free apartments sitting right there.
But there's all kinds of free houses sitting around the banks they're just sitting on that they use their bailout money
true, that's
to enable them
issue.
To do. I mean, those houses
who's not doing something about this?
the people are in power.
People are ready to take the power and take over these buildings. We did it last year with Occupy.
Yeah. Those people, friends of mine, are looking at 7 years in jail for that, too. So.
They'll redecorate the prisons and the county jail and make it look like homes. Give everybody their own keys.
I like that one. No, I don't like that one because I've been there once or twice and it's not funny. It's degrading. It really is.
Well, the way it's currently decorated does bring down one's spirits.
Well,
they ought to pipe in some music.
Breaks you down.
Build you up.
I don't know. These are questions that these things have been going on for a long time. There really is no clear-cut answer, but
as long as I can remember,
hundreds, thousands of years.
Yeah,
voting. At least five, six. Yeah.
But I mean, back in the old days, I mean, you could sleep out in the woods or a swamp or something, and no one would give a shit. You know, now you got the cops coming around with flashlights because they have nothing better to do with their time.
Well, you know, the issue of people getting hurt out there. They're at the wit's end, too, because I have a couple that are in my family up in Sacramento, and one of them is a sheriff, and he's at wit's end. In fact, he just retired. He said, to heck with this crap, man. He goes, after 25 years, he goes, I don't think things are going to change.
Oh, you mean he's having to enforce against poor people?
Yeah, well, you know.
Does your mom know you? Do you for a living? I mean,
I'm 45 years old. If I want to drink a beer, and as long as I got a paper bag around it, I think I should be able to do so. I mean, this is supposed to be a free country. There are instances.
Well, you drink it in your home. Oh, wait, you don't have one.
Exactly.
You can
go to the bar, though, where
it costs 3-4 times as much.
Exactly. So.
And it's owned by somebody else. That is the room.
Mm-hmm.
You drink according to their rules.
Yeah.
If you're in your own home and you're under the great blue sky, you should be able to drink according to your rules if you don't get out of hand. Because if you get out of hand of your own home, you'll get arrested as well, I found out.
Yeah.
I think
drunken and disorderly in public is a crime.
I think the Pacific Avenue of no smoking, no drink is a good rule for that, because you have a very, very, a lot of money flowing through there, a lot of kids, a lot of old people, a lot of health conscious people, and that is kind of their way of saying, well, we want a little bit of our own free air. You see what I'm saying?
For no smoking, you mean?
Well, yeah, you also have surfing competitions too, and some of these guys, man, they get around it, and it can really ruin their, chances of being out there in that competition.
Yeah, you can't smoke in the studio, by the way, either.
I mean, exactly.
Cigarettes.
Well, I think that's
marijuana's good fine, but we're not supposed to talk about smoking marijuana in the area.
No, marijuana is a whole other issue. It is a medicine.
Yeah, it does.
Which can be used recreationally and should be.
Did you hear the new Jack in the Box commercial?
It was approved.
Get loaded. I mean, they're talking about eating a lot of food, but you can hear the subliminal.
Hey, Sean, go and get some big gulps for us.
When you're stoned, you're going to eat more food anyway. So
exactly.
It's that's Jack one in the Box's interest for more people to get high.
That's good for the economy.
That's right. Well, like you were saying here on Social Security, that's good for the economy in Santa Cruz.
Jack in the Box kept me alive about 12 years ago while I waited for Lilavity to show up, although she was just Lisa at the time. I used to eat three of those triple cheeseburgers in one sitting. Yeah, I want to thank good people over at Jack in the Box. And you can deliver my Crystal Springs water care of this station, which I don't know where it is.
I just wanted to add, you hear plugs all the time, so in no way if I mention a franchise or something, it's a business. It's,
you're not I'm supposed not, to advertise.
Yeah, I'm not really
this
trying
is your
to get,
demo, so I wouldn't recommend
yeah, this
it.
Is a demo, but I do have to also give a big mention to a non-corporate entity, WAM, Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana.
Are you a WAM member?
Absolutely.
How long have you been a member there?
Coming up on 3 years. And
when did you start?
If it hadn't been, I think it was like March of...
March of 2009? 2010?
Yeah. Okay, it'll be 3 years.
Because I was in 2009.
And
I didn't volunteer much, though, so.
Well.
So I don't know all that many people that ran.
That organization saved my ass more than once.
Oh, yeah. She's, you know, Valerie spearheaded the whole medical marijuana, a lot of it, the medical marijuana. I mean, she got people, the government agents coming at her with, you know, automatic weapons back in.
I love you, Val.
2002.
Mike, you're a good guy, too.
Yeah, that's really kind of ironic.
We shouldn't forget Mike. He's in charge of the farm. And
that's right.
My father, who passed away, he was in during the Vietnam era. He was Special Forces and all that. And a lot of guys came home with Agent Orange.
Yeah.
And they resorted to heroin, to methamphetamine, to cocaine, to kill the pain and the disease itself. He actually got to see the almost legalization of it, I think, before he passed on. Something he thought he'd probably never see in his life.
I know. That is... Politically, that's the biggest thing that's happened since the 60s in my mind. I mean,
well, I don't know about that.
Well, what else? I mean, they've saved environmentally. They've done a few things, but we're facing an environmental catastrophe from the greenhouse.
How about the vote?
The what?
The vote.
For 18-year-olds, you mean?
18-year-olds.
But I'm putting that back in the 60s and
70s. Civil rights.
That's all 60s, 70s. Well, they didn't really...
The job's not done yet.
Yeah, the job's not done yet, either. Yeah, they never did get the equal...
ERA.
Equal Rights Amendment through all the states.
Betty Ford helped spearhead that herself, so both parties were in on it.
But I mean, just recently, in terms of, medical marijuana, marijuana is just plentiful now.
Bush.
I'd really like to know what's that stimulus in that stimulus package that's going to the White House. Just the word stimulus.
Well, the country's getting better, so it must be good stuff. Not enough, though.
Well, we're seeing that it... And the states that legalize it, look, no fucking problem. Why are we spending all this money to give to cops to harass people for nothing,
Well, they have nothing else to do.
Well, that's the thing. We could, especially in this town, they get like 90% fucking of their salary when they retire. I mean, we could get by with a lot less police. We could use that money for something constructive instead of just ruining people's lives, which is where it's being spent now.
I've been around this country and I've seen a lot of police forces. And the Santa Cruz police are the finest.
They are. Well, they're very well trained.
They're gentlemen and ladies.
They actually, I'm impressed.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Coming from a place like Sacramento.
Big cities are horrible.
Some of them I went to school with, and it's like they're going, well, what are you doing these days? And I says, well, I'm staying out of trouble, and now these straight-A students are, hooked on dope and everything else.
In Detroit, we want to stress certain things in our police department.
It's changed hands, so to speak, because we have a lot of people that aren't going into that because of layoffs and everything else. Is that jeopardizing public
early
safety?
Early retirement
or
for
what?
Everybody.
Early retirement, you think?
For everybody.
That's interesting.
The problem with their economy is the money's all being filtered up into the very richest hands, so there's plenty of stuff out there. There's plenty of empty houses,
when you're 30,
but nobody can afford
we're out,
it.
Right. You retire.
So we could get away with a four-day week work week for everyone. I mean, the stuff is already there. We just don't have the money to buy it. We have to get more money into poor people's hands.
I've been pretty fortunate that I've been able to sleep in a few doorways, so I'd like whatever people out there that have had a business or whatever that have been gracious enough to overlook, maybe wake me up in the morning and stuff like that.
How long have you lived in Santa Cruz?
I've been here a couple months now.
You haven't got any tickets yet?
I can't really want to talk about that. They kind of railroaded me when I first got here. Well, this is what you can do, and this is what you can't do.
Oh, you got to take
my mother taught me, if you get mail that you don't want, you rip it up and you throw it away.
That's, well, for the homeless, if you don't have a car, these tickets mean nothing. Trouble is, like the wandering hippies in their vans and stuff had a car. They get these tickets, they don't pay it, they go to renew their van next year.
Right.
Can't do it. You have to pay that ticket first, so you lose. So those people don't come into town anymore.
Yeah. And it's like,
I have
if
friends
you're
in Folsom who make license plates. Just let me know and I'll have them specially ordered for you.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Different designs.
It's kind of a who's on first, what's on second, right?
And here he comes into third. Standing up.
The thing that's really interesting is this is the first chance that I've had to really do this sort of thing without going to college or going to a school. This is a beautiful thing. This really is. So I want to thank the people here for allowing a chance
My wife reminds me.
To reiterate on certain things that maybe I've forgotten in the past that I, well, that's an important issue. Now I have a chance that I can talk about that.
Document it. We'll give you your own agency. We learned this from our friends at the Mormon Church. Thank you, Michael. And offer you a degree in anything you want. Independent Scholars Union Research Foundation.
21 years of going to school has worn me out. I don't even want to read a book.
You've already completed your degree. You just talked to me.
I guess this is my dissertation, isn't it now?
You make a donation. You design your own sheepskin. And you hang it up wherever you want.
That's a beautiful. I wish they would have told me that 20 years ago.
It won't help you get your job, say, in the government or anything.
My wife and I do need to sign it, however.
Yeah, I just wanted the mansion and the BMW, you know, at one
Motor
time
Works.
And now.
And I want to thank Bob Christian. Son?
There's a lot more important things.
Wham member.
Than that.
There's just some guy from the street begging for. Got some Chinese food. This is all my friends over at 5B3 in Palo Alto, VA. Hey, Karen, what's cooking, baby?
Are you both veterans?
Yes.
Yeah, Terry and I are Air Force veterans. Terry actually owns the United States Air Force. Is that right, Terry? Yeah. He's going to the Wild Blue Yonder right now.
Do you guys ever go to the Betz Hall?
Yes. It's closed. Well,
how do you feel about it being closed?
Pisses me off. It's not a good thing.
No, that's really.
It is. That's a sham.
You know, normally Jerry Brown should be doing something about this.
Well, it's the local county here is the one who's screwed.
Well, apparently we got a lack of communication between the state capitol and the.
They were supposed to hold it in trust for the vets. They fucked up on the maintenance and the building's falling apart, or there's some question that even if. That's true, but basically the bet's been turned
so
down.
So you think the...
Looks okay to me.
Loma Prieta, the earthquake back in, what was that, 89?
Well, look at it,
like
I mean...
That had some...
These people had no problem with you guys going overseas and risking your life, you know, to protect capitalism, but when it comes time to, like, say, living in your building, it's people wanted to sleep there and stuff.
I haven't been in the Air Force or anything, but I studied... my grandpa was a defense contractor, and I studied engineering, but I was also a minor with music, right? So the best of both worlds, but these dilapidated buildings from an engineering point of... some of the structures are unsafe, and they need to be torn down.
Well, that's questionable there, if that's even true.
But if they're salvageable, and they don't oppose a threat, they should be turned over to some of the homeless people to fix them up.
Well, look, everybody knows this. Is anything being done, actually?
No, of course not. We're just trying to embarrass
Jerry Brown, please give us a call.
I mean, I can hold
on. Thing, you know that there's normally was be a Thanksgiving dinner there every year, and the last few years it's been at the Civic. And
this
year, it's not going to happen.
Really?
You're going to have Sea Otter drop a bomb on you.
Yeah, 1,200 people were fed last year. This year it's going to be just like 300 or something up at the homeless service center.
Yeah, like tomorrow they're going to have I think it's 3 to 5 at one of the Salvation Army or one of the... Somebody was saying...
So 800 or 900 people are going to go hungry on Thanksgiving here and the homeless. So.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It just gets worse and worse. And everything's closed.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know... Can't hang out
Thanksgiving
anywhere.
Already again. It's hard to believe.
I know it's a negative holiday when you're homeless, generally, except for the dinner, right? Because everything's
closed.
It's
a negative Thanksgiving when you're home alone.
What was that, a miracle on 42nd Street or something?
But I want to thank Arlie and Patty for the generous donations to my doorsteps the last couple of years when I've been home alone, waiting for my arrival. Little did I know.
What are some of the other issues that we were going to embark upon?
Yeah,
it's basically a homeless issue.
It's
depressing.
It's depressing. That's why we need good music.
Yeah.
And we have Sean with us tonight. I am sitting in an underground radio station. He's eating a Tootsie Roll right now. No, he's rolling. He's rolling me a custom cigarette. I'm going to dedicate this next joint to my son, Aaron. Michael, I've been with people like you the last few weeks, and really, smoking doesn't become you. You cough like I do, and you're the one who's going to be president, not me. Underground radio station here in San Francisco. But drinking a beer or two with Megan As long as you guys can manage it and keep going to meetings. You can go to your Al-Anon meetings.
Oh, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz. 101.3 currently on your FM.
If I ever
you can also listen to it on the stream at, well, actually, freakradio.org. Maybe if you click the red dot on the homepage, I think that's the stream, but we have no written links to the stream there anymore because we got hassled by...
If I ever get any good at this, I'm going to hire my brother as my executive, whatever they call it, director.
Well, you're going to have to leave Free Radio then because we all suck here.
Well, so does my brother. But he's really good, and he actually has taken more of an interest, he told me this last year, in public radio. And we'd always have these competitions. You know, he was for Kennedy, I was for Nixon. I was for Goldwater, he was for Johnson. I became a socialist, and I still cry for Bobby Kennedy.
Excuse me.
I don't know what that has to do with anything other than if I get any good at this, my brother would make a big difference in my budding radio career.
Yeah, I think my falling asleep earlier and almost not making it here, because I was coming up with all good kinds of ideas just being out there today on the streets. And asking, you know, by popular consensus, you know, how many people do listen to this type of radio. And it was surprising that 3/4 of people I asked do listen periodically to free radio or public radios. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I went to school. When I went to college, one of my mentors was Dr. Fleshman, and he did work with Mr. Rogers before he passed away, and with Mrs. Rockefeller, who donates, she's one of the biggest donors to PBS, which is another...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I have some. I know some pretty cool people.
Why the fuck are you on the street, man? Were you sent here by God?
Well, I guess so. I walked out of a car accident, out of a coma about 20 years. I started going to school and put myself back up. And
I've been under observation for years.
Well, I just traveled around. I thought maybe I could get a job as an engineer, and then I got sick or whatever on Social Security, so I wasn't able to actually go into my trade.
Somebody fired God, and I stepped in.
I don't know. He's been pretty blessing up there, you know. He's been pretty lenient on me.
He's given me a few breaks.
Yeah.
All right, brother. I'm not actually sure he has genitals.
I don't. He's not really that.
I wouldn't say it's a he or a she.
Last time I looked, he does.
He's been pretty.
Are you sure it's a he?
Nah. Yeah, I have no idea, but I do know.
But
I'm alive and well.
Half.
I'm alive and well.
But they usually originally there was, or I guess we're talking about the Western guy. Yeah. There originally was the consort.
Oh, here we go with the religion now. This is a really hot topic.
I'm
talking about a way of life, man.
Right.
Read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's my biography.
I think I read 9 of the books, but that was...
You're not supposed to read
that. That's all they had. Somebody was using them for rolling cigarettes.
Tell you what, I've got a...
You're
right.
You know.
You roll a hell of a joint with it. I want to say hello to Julie Stent and Jim Mesnick, in fond memory of my friend Tom McGraw, Indiana McGraw.
Your phone's rang once. Your phone just rang once here.
Hold that call. I'm doing something.
One oh one point three.
At freakradio.org, you can also get it on a computer.
WABX, Detroit, Michigan.
Freakradio.org.
And hello.
I'm saying
you
got to
press on like the there's a little red dot or something that I think that gets you the stream. That's what I heard.
I'm sitting here looking at this little statue of
on a radio station.
For copyright issues, we had to
like
take
Johnny
the links
Carson.
Down.
Can you believe that?
Or somebody did.
I'm sitting here looking at this little Buddha dog, right? This little
Carol
statue.
Carol Hamill, get over your cancer, please. It bothers me. I say that with good cheer.
If he listens, they'll
build
the audience.
Actually, we got about five people on the stream right now, which is good for free radio.
Oh, call-ins?
Just listening on the computer.
So
that's the only way we can tell.
Oh, really?
I don't know how many. I assume there's probably just as many listening on radio.
It's interesting.
We have no way of telling.
Yeah. Learning is a fundamental thing. And I think the more people that...
You could always learn.
Yeah. I think the more people that you know, they start doing something besides taking all these ceramic classes at UC Berkeley, you know. I mean, that's a good thing if you're going to go into porcelains and, you know, that part of the engineering end of it.
Worldwide Kirtan time.
This country is self-sufficient right now, and they don't really want to let the public or the rest of the world know this. And that's why we have such an influx of people coming in, which that is part of the problem of why some people are homeless, because they either don't want to do a job or they can't.
But if you discover Sri Krishna, the search is over. You'll find work, I guarantee it.
Well, yeah.
There's always more work to do.
Line them up, bring them in, everybody's sure to win. Step right up, here we go. Oh, what a...
I like the way Robert Plant plays a tambourine, but if I go to an airport and try to play tambourine, you know, it's they're not going to let me there.
We never went away. We just changed our clothes. Oh, and this is an update on the World Series.
Yeah?
I want to congratulate the Detroit Tigers on winning the World Series. It was Halloween time.
San Francisco won.
It was no. Hang on. It was Halloween time. Everything's backwards this year.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
They switched uniforms.
You think so?
I know so.
Hmm.
So I want to congratulate the Detroit Tigers on winning the 2012 World Series.
And Mitt Romney for taking the presidency.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Well, our condolences then to the entire world, if that's the case.
Right. We're gonna end up like
I want to congratulate
the
president.
He kind of scared me if he would have got in the White House.
What did he
do for a living? He sells off bad companies, right? So he'd sell off a few states.
His father understood the working man. George Romney was my hero.
You're a Republican.
When I hear the name,
I'm the new Republican.
I think of Rommel. You know, like
I'm an independent,
the Desert
like
Fox.
My wife.
That's what comes to mind.
But I vote
mind.
Democratic. Except when I don't. Voted for Lynn Jeunesse in 72. Then I got scared that, oh my God, we might get another Republican after Nixon, so I voted for Carter, some peanut farmer. Ended up thinking he was probably one of the best damn presidents we ever had.
He started, I think he's one of the original helper start Houses for Humanities or something.
Yeah, my
like
friend
that.
Marlene Lockwood's on that case, or she was the last time I talked to her.
I got all my stuff taken in San Diego recently, and I had to get get courtesy rides. It took me seven buses.
Where did you disappear to?
Well, I...
Birthday girl.
I didn't want to be on the streets, and I figured I had a little money in my pocket. I'd go down to Vegas for a few minutes.
So you became a street bum?
No, I just went down there and lived a little luxury for a moment, you know, out of all the despair that I've been seeing.
Yeah, well.
It got me a good mindset, got cleaned up. It was a good thing to go on the road.
We knew
for
how to
while.
Work a room, didn't we, Pam?
Well, it's just, like I said, I'm 45 now. I'm tired of traveling. I've had it. I'm ready to settle down and just sleep for about 3 years, you know, Rumpelstiltskin style.
Then we're going to have my friend David, the cameraman, who I met at BHU. Hello, over there at the Nut House here in town. One of the best. Clean the floor. Wax the damn floors. I'd like to buy the building or have it donated to the Independent Scholars Union Research Foundation when you're done with it next year. And when we're in that neighborhood, we will always stop by and say hello to David McBride, Commander-in-Chief over at Crisis House. And Janana.
The thing that's a person like myself, I've been by myself for so long, it's difficult to go to some of these homeless shelters, to halfway houses, because of my education too. I don't like the politics of a lot of things that are going on. I understand that.
What do you mean by that?
The funding isn't there to have certain adequacies going on. It's just not.
For instance, ours here. What's wrong with our shelter here?
I haven't stayed there.
Okay.
But I do know that there's an extremely lot of people that do go there and stay there. They probably do a great job.
God knows they try hard.
They try, okay. And that's anybody can do.
Yeah, they produce good results.
But let me explain myself.
I got my ass out of town today.
Some of the funding that these, the donations and everything else are a wonderful thing. But some people don't use the tools at hand in the proper manner.
Sign them up for a core course brought to you by me.
I mean, do we actually have somebody from the Salvation Army on the board of directors for the city or the county or the state? I'd like to see some of these politicians actually go out and live on the streets for a week.
Let's make that happen. I believe Jerry Brown did it.
I have a friend that was in prison for 21 years. He was in prison for 21 years, and his parole officer told him, "You're going to be out there recycling bottles and cans, and you're going to be on the street." And he did it for a while, and he says, "Danny, man, this is worse than being in. I want to go back to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be taken care of. I don't want to fend for myself."
People.
Well, a lot of the shelters are similar to a jail.
It was scary to even hear this from somebody that had been 20. He was only supposed to get 6 years, and he ended up doing 21 years.
For what?
Bank robbery or something like that. It's just a kid I grew up with. I went to school, and when he got out, it was funny to see the different directions that we had both gone. You know, I sit down and have a beer with him any day of the week. You know, I got a lot of respect for the man. He made some mistakes. I understand that, but all in all, he's still somebody that I've known from my childhood. So I don't have that stereotype about him that a lot of people may have.
Mm-hmm.
That's good thing about my family is that they understand me.
Yeah, I come from a military family, so
we don't really
fathom that jail thing, but I have been a little bit reckless in my days, you know, a rock and roller, somebody that wants to live the fast lane.
So, gang, I'm over myself. Let's get back together.
Yeah.
It's holiday time. Daddy wants to see Samantha, my granddaughter.
Now, remember, people you know aren't going to be listening to the station unless you told them to.
Well, that's kind of why I like this place here. It's kind of incognito. I can be myself. I don't have that.
Yeah, that's... You can talk to the public and be relaxed about it.
He's a rock star from the 80s. Yeah, you know.
Did you want to have these guys do some music or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Well, we should probably get to it here.
Okay.
We're only going to do like an hour or so.
Well, this is great. It's been very interesting.
Rewarding.
That's the perfect word for it. Very rewarding. So I guess we'll turn this over to Sean.
Can I introduce him?
And who?
Sean Kennedy.
Sean and his...
Sean and Terry.
And Terry.
It's Bill Kennedy from whatever it was. Curtain Time, no, it was Johnny Ginger. He looks like Johnny Ginger.
And so now here on 101.3, we have a little entertainment for you. So,
Sean, are you ready?
Yeah. For what? What am I doing?
You're playing a song.
Cool. I'm not going to play a song.
Sean is a gentleman that I met over at the homeless shelter where I currently reside. Not my preference, but I'm making the best of it. And so are they. But Sean and I, we met over there. He's carved me pipes, and I keep his bowl filled. And
yeah, you need to smoke outside.
No, he's getting his guitar out. Looks something that George Harrison may have played.
Or George Harrison. Or Elvis.
We have that Elvis, George kind of reincarnation in my very presence.
Are you gonna get up on this thing or what? Let me make sure there's anything to do.
Take it away, angels.
Thank you.
Sean. He wasn't even warmed up.
Man, that was nice.
Original music out of his own.
Where would you normally hear Sean?
I usually hear Sean on the streets. If I'm lucky, I hear him in the living room of the homeless shelter, which is a broken-down picnic table. Come on, we can do better, people. There are promises to keep.
Well, they took out the... There were more picnic tables at the shelter. They took those out. They took out all the lockers,
which are kind of crucial. They finally got some outhouses in there. But God knows, you probably got to pay a quarter to use it.
they always had bathrooms, though. What are you saying? They have
They have two additional outdoor toilets, which is a big improvement.
No waiting now.
If you can find the line.
Why did they put... Were people crapping outside? Is that why they put them in?
On occasion. But it may have been a gift.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because, yeah, somebody has to maintain those, too. They used one of those at the protest back in 2010. And Occupy had three of them, eventually.
But there is a better way. There ought to be a damn trash can around the corner there.
There's no trash can up there?
Not around that one corner. No, by the bus stop. By side of Costco.
There should be a trash can right at the bus stop.
Two or three, anyway. Yeah. That stretch of highway there. It's good and it's really bad. It's good and it's really bad. And there's too many head games that get played.
But by staff, right?
They got a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And, I put up with them, they put up with me, and we make the best of it. But I nearly leveled the place. My father said, don't talk to me. No, don't look at me in that tone of voice. So I was looking at people in that particular tone of voice today. And I didn't know that they would take the time to really give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really isn't any of their damn business what I'm thinking.
Right.
Disabled American veteran. How dare they lay a hand on me and arrest me? Thought police.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't need all of you, I'd put you all down. That's a joke. I tried. I can't do it.
Yeah,
see?
You're a daisy if you do.
The power's gone.
I'm not so easy to kill.
I got to go to AA. Because I'm powerless. Hey, Rick. He's somebody that I don't know.
I would like to add... there's a guy, Chris Connolly, is in the hospital right now. I hope people would pray for him out there. He recycled bottles and cans out here for a while, and I guess he had a seizure and hit his. And they had to do some surgery, I guess.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I just recently went and saw him in the hospital. They weren't going to let me in, but I don't. They've been having to try and get a hold of his mom. I guess his mom came in. But anyway, I know you're not listening, Chris, but. Our prayers go out to you. I hope you come out of this thing.
Thanks, man. I hear you.
So, and the numerous other people that have
given their lives,
lost their lives, so they're good soldiers, you know. So,
yeah, and we lose our lives not necessarily on the battlefield. Sometimes the battlefield is brought home.
That's what I was going to say.
And the job gets finished here.
No problem with you risking your life on the battlefield, but at the vet's hall, no, we can't allow that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like a foot soldier for the last 20 years, you know?
We'll protect you! You're our heroes!
And all of a sudden, it's nanny government. Yeah, well, basically, some homeless vets were talking about staying there, and all of a sudden, they close it down. You know, they
open it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where is all this money that, we'll see.
What's the replacement? They're supposed to, that's
Emma
a vet-owned building. The county doesn't really own it. The vets own it. They're just held in trust by the county, and the county has betrayed that trust.
Yeah, that sits there for 20 years, some of it, and the Catholic Church will go over and take the money if it's not doled out to the families and stuff like that. And it happened almost to me. I was named after the first Sacramento shot down in Vietnam. And most of all the family is gone now. But the 45,000 people that had a class action lawsuit against the government back in the 60s and 70s for the MIA POWs out there, where is that money now? They've just been keep moving these wars from one nation to another nation, and it's like, okay, we're done.
I think there's another future that's going to occur.
I think our machinery and our troops need to come home.
I don't know if I have
home.
Anything to say about it.
Well.
But I've just said something about it.
Our future's pretty bright in my eyes. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
Does Rush Limbaugh believe everything he says? Or is he just an entertainer?
Well, it depends on his prescription.
He's on OxyContin. Who knows?
Right. You know. And he's like, well, why judge me? Judge not, you know, the old saying goes, judge not lest ye be judged, you know. My choice is a nice cold beer.
Only the evil fear that.
You know, a little, maybe a little medicinal on the side, but.
He is comical.
Oh, Rush is very comical. He's very informed.
He's very informed.
Another guy that's very, very informed is Romy. Now, that guy is amazing in his ability as a DJ to bring forth the sports like he does. And it's a lot of emulation of life sports, you know. There's a lot of things, and go Warriors, you know.
Hey, Sean, I'll walk back with you.
That's another thing, moving the 49ers to Santa Clara. Now, what's that going to do to the homeless situation in San Francisco? That's going to decrease more funding and more tourism that's going to be going to Santa Clara now. San Jose downtown is beautiful. You go to Fresno. Now, that's where the tax franchise board got moved to Sacramento. A lot of people don't know this.
Used to be Fresno?
Well, Fresno's where you send in your taxes every year. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to, you know, doing it by mail. Now it's all, you know, computerized electronic. But I still believe in the old paper.
I soul traveled to Fresno this past summer. Interesting.
It's pretty much vacant downtown.
Did you have a passport for that?
A passport.
Yeah, it was in a yellow Corvair, of all things.
A yellow Corvair.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was trying to get to a Brobridge, Louisiana, of all places.
Do you know the difference between the Corvair and the Nova? You know, Ralph Nader made John DeLorean take the engine out of the back and put it in the front of a Nova. So this is back when. That's another thing. People,
are you
like,
serious?
Yeah, that's part of my history of the automotive industry and so forth.
My.
Yeah, I grew up in a pretty interesting background.
Yeah, I got that.
And
I'm a factory rat from Detroit.
Well, it's privatization. It's like we can build. I can design a combine tractor in the Midwest that can do 500,000 acres with just two guys on computers.
I did
now.
My farming in Ossining, Michigan, with the Adamski clan.
Oh boy.
Adamski's, pick your own berries.
There you go.
Oh my, Sylvia.
Yeah, my
Hey Jane, hey Jeanette.
My mom lives in Idaho.
Stevie.
And she just absolutely loves it. And that's where a lot of our potatoes come from too. The food issue right now
Bobby
is very
Joey.
Important. We're not exporting
you,
like we should.
Jan.
Well, I think
we're an importer now. We used to be an exporter.
Yeah. And
Linda.
Yeah, but what are we importing?
You know. Lori.
More methadone?
That's I mean, more of food.
Yeah. Well,
we used to export agriculture. Now we're importing more than we export.
Man,
that's what I heard.
Yeah, that is the
Newmans? The Shones. The Shoshones.
That's hey, a really tough situation because
and Jack,
of,
I got your rocking chair, Jack.
Your rocking chair. Now, what? I'm waiting for that rocking chair myself because I'm ready for that remote control, that TV in my own little apartment. You know, I'm ready for it.
If life goes on long enough, Jack, I'll loan it to you. But Helen gave it to me. I don't know why, but she did.
Your favorite aunt?
My Aunt Clara, who makes... Yeah, his mother.
Oh,
Jack's
his mother.
Ah,
oh, see.
Clara. My godmother.
Bilsey.
Where did they come up with that?
I don't know.
He's seeing you. I always thought that those were cute sayings. They didn't have anything to do with me.
So what are the other issues that we were going to embark upon here? The homeless thing is ongoing. We already know that. It's
music.
Music is a beautiful thing to get to mind.
Moody Blues.
Right.
Bring on the Moody Blues. Moody Blues, please come to Santa Cruz. I'm homeless, have limited funds, be glad to buy a ticket, but I want to go to the backstage thing. You know my brother? He interviewed you in Seattle, I believe it was. And I never got my roadie jacket. Damn.
You know, KZAP used to do a thing in Sacramento when I was a kid. I won a contest when I was in fourth grade or something. I drew a Cheshire cat and a bookmarker. And I won this contest, and I won, you know, some stickers and other things like that. KZAP was a great station because they used to have what was called the Magical Mystery Tour. And it was a train that would go around the valley, right? And it was just people back then, the baby boomers, you know, whatever. I guess that's what you call the baby boomers now. But it was an interesting thing. KZAP is still, I think it became another radio station, but it's stations like that.
I'm really tripping, folks.
Well, you know, the importance of these type of things. This has given me a time to take and be off the streets for 3 hours.
You
see,
do you chant Hare Krishna?
At? Oh no! Oh no!
Would you consider taking it up?
I was baptized. My dad's Catholic. My mom's Lutheran. So,
so am I.
I'm confused. You know, no.
No, it's all in the Hare Krishna mantra.
I've read quite a bit, and I do know some
this book here
people
by
of
Swami
the Hindu faith
and
Buddhism and Zen, and they're great religions. I'm still searching on who I am in life. You see,
your spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord.
Walking out of being dead once or twice is not a fun thing to walk back into the world and say, you know, thanks God, here I am. Now what am I supposed to do?
So let's just not have any more games about it. Let's acknowledge who we are and be on with it.
Right.
I mean, there'll be more mistakes. There'll be more ups and downs. No more jail time. No more hospitals. Yeah, sometimes I think crazy things, but I shouldn't be arrested for it. Neither should you.
Oh, the collective consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah, collective consciousness and unconsciousness. So stay out of both of mine. And I'll leave yours alone, too. Unless you want to share with me on a core course.
I'm not sure where my consciousness ends
and
everything else starts.
Yeah,
you're still soul traveling, too. Eh?
I don't actually believe in personal self.
I'll be getting together in a room for a weekend with an agenda and specific promises to be made. You can get more focused as to why in the hell you're walking around on Earth rather than just flying around.
That's another one. It'd be nice to have a Learjet.
Well, you know people who have them, according to you.
Yeah, but I can't afford the gas for those things. You know.
Call the president. He knows where the money is. Call Mitt. He can help dole it out.
I'd like to just give a little bit of plug to the Bicycle Church. I thought that's a wonderful thing when I first got here to Santa Cruz.
Absolutely.
Somebody turned me on to that because I love to build bikes, raced them all my life, tour bikes, you name it. And to get in there and just get a little greasy after, you know, being on the road or whatever, it was a fabulous thing because it really allowed me to focus back on part of my trade. And I can work like 20 hours a week, but is that really going to be a supplement?
Well, I can make about $1,000 more on top of what I get from my disability. And my wife, she's, you know, of questionable mental judgment sometimes. I mean, she married me and she's gone through all this. God, she's got to have some things to tell me. But, yeah, you know, you can make it. Put together a little of this, a little of that, do a few deals on the side.
Yeah,
legal, of course.
Like I say, the plug for this bicycle church, it's a good thing, people. If you get a chance, you go over there, and once a year they give you, I think, $50 credit, and you got to kind of help pay a little bit, you know, for using the tools and the shop time.
And if you're me, you're useless.
But you learn, and you get to work with some fabulous people.
Free radio?
Absolutely.
And that's another.
And you can
thing.
Also well, find these people over at the homeless shelter. Sunday through Saturday, 7 days a week. Somebody's always there. There's generally a party going on down there. So if you got to be there, it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, see, personally, I've been trying to pull myself away. And I think there's a lot of other people out there, too, from the drugs, the alcohol.
Cheryl, if I can stay longer than one night, I'd appreciate it.
And turn the life around, because there's an opportunity there, you know, for
I want to say all my friends, Ed over at the Armory, and Skip.
I'm going to put you on. Hold on.
Oh, Skip. What a case we are. On and on I can go.
Why don't you tell me a little more about the Armory? That's interesting.
Well, all I know about is that there might be too many people. Well, it understands like they're having a good time.
Hey, caller, are you there?
You know, as bad as it is, people are making the best.
You there, caller?
Hello.
Oh, we have a caller.
Yes. And you have identified me, which is bizarre. Okay.
Well, not on the radio yet. You can...
No, well...
You're our friend from L.A. that used to live here back in the 60s.
Well, if you would call that living. No, I actually, it was a grand time.
He's
I
a writer.
Every day.
In L.A.
In fact, I have recurring dreams of the house where I lived in Monterey.
Yeah.
Tell us more about it.
Well, it was a beautiful house on Larkin Street.
Do you got a room to rent?
He's living in L.A. now. He's listening to us on the stream.
66 Larkin
I travel.
Street. Overlooked the entire city and the bay, and well, you know, homelessness or having a home, and I'm not going to put a patina of phoniness on it, maybe a state of mind, but that was really a home for me, where I lived with a quasi family, and I often have dreams of it. I haven't had lately. So
he's a regular listener to our show.
I listen.
You're not homeless, but you're carless in L.A. That's almost the same thing, right?
Nobody walks in L.A.
Oh, my God.
Right? You don't have a car and you live in L.A. Am I wrong?
You know,
you're progressive.
Actually, tomorrow I'm going to leave L.A.
Where are you going?
To Paris.
All right.
Put me in your suitcase. I want to get out of town.
All right.
My sister lives there in France.
And you know, tomorrow, which is the busiest day at the airport.
Yeah.
From 11 to 4, they are going to have a strike, a union strike. To tie up the traffic.
I think they'll win their demands.
Yes,
it's all about timing.
It's totally bizarre.
Are we sure that's a good idea?
I am going to, at 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to pay about 35 cents and go to the airport.
Yeah? Well, you'll be searched twice because you're Iranian.
Iranian. And I'm not an Iranian.
I am an American.
I know.
And I'm an American citizen.
You got it.
I tell
you.
Otherwise, I would have had a hell of a trouble tomorrow.
That's right. Like I'm saying, a friend of mine flew during right after 9/11 and stuff. And he just looked slightly ethnic, and he got searched twice. He did have some mushrooms in his underwear, though.
They blew up.
So anyhow, with 35 cents to get to the airport, but when I get to Paris, the tariff from the airport to town is about $16.
Oh, you're saying a 35-cent ride in L.A. is equivalent to a $16 one in Paris?
So figure why, and I meet people every day here at my business. Figure why people from all over the world are coming to Los Angeles.
To become famous in the movies.
They're
not coming there for those 35-cent bus rides, I guarantee you.
No, they do. They do because this is, because, you know, still and all, living here is somewhat more affordable.
You're kidding. Now, wait a minute. Why is it 35 cents? I mean, it's like it's $2 for a bus ride here.
Yeah, but first of all, since I'm an Uncle Dennis fan and I came here...
You got the free radio discount?
In the 60s means that I am now a senior citizen.
Oh, so you get a senior citizen discount. It's only 35 cents. Well, here, even with the senior citizen discount, it's a dollar.
It's a good deal.
Well, you know, out here it's crazy. They actually...
Unless you don't have a dollar.
So why is it so cheap? Maybe more of the poor people should move to L.A. Is that what you're recommending here?
As I'm going to say tomorrow in Paris, no merci, monsieur.
What do you say, no what?
No merci, monsieur. No thank you, sir.
Paris, Texas, or Paris, France?
Paris, France. And I haven't been for a long there for a long while, so...
Do you have family there?
Well, wherever I go, I have family, but I avoid them.
Sounds awful.
Well, no, it's not. It's not. I mean, you know, family...
So you're leaving the country to celebrate Thanksgiving. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, that is
if only the pilgrims had done this,
that
I think the Indians would be a lot happier.
Yeah, right.
Second Exodus?
I am going where it has not been visited by the pilgrims. And it's the grim. It's the grim part that I don't like. Here's a good one. The pill, maybe I can take one, but the grim I can't take.
You're saying you're going to France to get pills, but they got some grim living conditions you don't like?
No. Why am I going there? Well, actually, this is in preparation for a trip to Guatemala.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Because going to France, you know, this is a beaten path. You just go through the motions and you go there and do this, 1, 2, 3, and then before you know it, you're back here. But then I want to go to Guatemala, which is off the beaten path. Because, you see, when I was 17 years old, I came from Iran to America. That was a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Enormous. In fact, on my screensaver, I have a picture of Big Sur and Big Sea Bridge, which I saw about 2 or 3 days after I came here.
And this is where you came, to the Monterey Bay Area?
Yeah, and imagine just coming to a country from halfway around the world and being presented to that, with the Big Sur coast. And my first thought, the age of 17, being of a lugubrious mindset, was that this is a great place to die. That, you know, but I
California?
Don't die. Yeah, but I don't want to die there.
Let's not die.
So I want to go.
Who dies?
Somewhere else. Somewhere just as revolutionary. And there is this lake in Guatemala, which is astonishing.
Let me ask you, sir, how's the homeless issue from the last time you've been in France or Guatemala, or because you sound worldly traveled?
L.A.
Well, here's the homeless issue in Los Angeles. This is the city with the largest homeless population in the country.
Amazing.
And the city contains it downtown.
In a ghetto?
Well, it is a homeless ghetto. Now, actually, today I was working with a woman who had worked in downtown Los Angeles in the jewelry district, which is 4th and 5th Street.
Whole now, thing's a ghetto.
5th Street, which is called the Nickel.
Lunian.
There are blocks and blocks of 4th and 5th Street, which are actually the jewelry district, which are some of the richest storefronts in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and they're what? They're right near the homeless areas?
But as you get past them, then you get into some of the most
Skid Row
homeless populated. Now, but dig this. Here, where I live, in West Los Angeles, we have Iranian homeless.
Yeah?
And
in your backyard?
They are a very mean people. They are like Ahmadinejad without a home.
Oh, boy.
One of them comes and sits out by the Japanese barbecue. He has driven the Japanese barbecue people crazy.
Now, are these some of your relatives that you try and avoid?
No, well, you know, I mean, I don't know how deep you want on my eve of departure from the country to get into this, but
We're just kidding around here.
But what would be a dysfunctional American family in the Middle East would be Ozzy and Harriet. So that's the feeling. So, you can go. And actually, these people work on the principle that if we make you as tough and screwed up as possible, then nobody can mess with you, which is not true. Which is not true, absolutely. Well,
it's like giving you the name Sue or something so you'll grow up strong.
Yeah, worse than that.
Johnny
Cash. In fact, the county assessor, the county property assessor of Los Angeles is now in prison.
For what?
For having underestimated tax on multi-million dollar homes, most of which are owned by Iranians.
Aha. He should have ran for vice president.
Did he get some good bribes for that?
Now, another person who is in trouble is the contributor to his campaign, who is also an Iranian, who owns two Ferraris, but not for long. And this guy basically made a deal with him, helped pay for his campaign, elected him, and underestimated property taxes to the tune of $60 million.
Wow.
Of which this guy, Ramin Salari, R-A-M-I-N Salari, took half. Took half.
Nice work if you can get it.
And, well, no. Both of these people are going to spend, they're going to do a lot of time, and they're going to... But that is it, you know. So it's like a kind of a family arrangement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Salari thought that this would just remain between him and John Noges, who is the county assessor. And by the way, in the last election, there was a measure on the ballot that proposed to make the county assessor an appointed rather than an elected office.
Wow.
And by the way, the county assessor, the district attorney, and the county sheriff are the three truly deputized people in all of Los Angeles. The rest are just phony. Like, they are just...
They're all three elected positions, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, but these,
they must
I
be
don't,
busy.
I do not pretend to quite understand it, but these are heavy-duty legal positions,
mm-hmm.
whereby, like, even the district attorney doesn't have an equal legal weight. As the tax assessor, the county sheriff, the district attorney does. District and the county sheriff, tax assessor, the rest, like the police chief, he is essentially a civilian.
Yeah, since they're elected positions, they have a certain degree of independence. They can't be pushed around by city councils or county boards of supervisors, like the sheriff here, same thing.
I stand corrected. I believe she is the first black woman district attorney who got elected.
Wow.
Yeah, district attorney is a really important job because they determine what laws get prosecuted and what don't. I mean, because the police break laws here all the time, but they don't get prosecuted for them. Butchie Baker was allegedly molesting people, and he got off no problem. But, the activists get slammed for merely sleeping.
All right, brother? Whenever I hear Robert North say Butchie Baker, somehow I find it very humorous.
Well, he likes to. That's why I use it too. It belittles the.
His
son actually has got a job now too on the police force. Santa Cruz is very much a. If you want a job here, you need to know somebody cooked into the system.
Mm.
Which means if we were to fire all these people and replace them with people with merit, we'd have a much better run government.
Well, there's a few more families that would be on the streets too. Probably.
What it is.
I'm thinking of
a lot of people want
mayor.
To live here, but there's very few jobs.
In 2 years.
I was telling a friend of mine today that how it is, how there is beyond just tourism and the very wealthy.
That's tourism is one of the main
yes,
moneymakers here, this and the university.
There is the tourism, there's education, and then there are the very wealthy who often have second homes or third homes or whatever.
Well, L.A., you got all the films, too. That's where you mainly make your money.
L.A. is a very different story. But in the Monterey Peninsula, if you go beyond tourism, education, and the very wealthy...
And the military. There's a naval base in Monterey.
The military. But then you really have a very small...
there's not much other jobs here.
Economic space.
Yeah, exactly right.
And that is not the case in Los Angeles.
Big cities have all kinds of opportunities.
If you have an organ and a monkey, you can make money here.
Now that's a good idea.
Where's your you guys had a monkey? You'd be making money on Pacific. It's probably illegal. They're allowing dogs on Pacific now, but I doubt if they allow monkeys.
I'd have to feed
you
the monkey.
You can actually get away with smoking at the right time.
One of the most interesting places in Los Angeles, which was actually voted the best grocery store in all of town, is a Whole Foods.
Really?
Near Venice Beach. And this is a trip.
Well, Venice.
You get the last of the Venice homeless, the RV dealers, you know, RVs that go back to the 60s. They park on the side. You get the, you know, Google and all these huge companies have moved in there. So you get those people. You get Hollywood. But then you get a range of very, very bizarre people. And believe me, some of the most beautiful women I've seen in my life
are in Santa Cruz, California.
And it's not easy at the age of 65. So it's a strange ferment. And
actually, need to be happily married.
And then imagine the parking lot competition. It has made its way into a rap song.
Parking lot? What do you mean? Competitions for a parking space, or
there's a Whole Foods.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There is this astonishing 99-cent only store, a CVS, and a laundromat, and the parking competition.
I want to thank my friends at CVS for all the support over these many weeks and months and years.
And then, a block from there is a former movie theater that is now a flea market. And I never ventured there.
Who organizes all this stuff?
I never crossed the street there.
Capitalist.
Because in my...
Nice work.
In my youth, when I came to Los Angeles to make it in the movies, I used to go to that theater, which changed its programs every night. And I went there and religiously watched movies, thinking that I would become a filmmaker.
Aha! That's why you moved to L.A.
That's why I moved.
But now you're a writer.
I am a hack. But
I think you should do comedy. Do you do any comedy writing? Do you do any comedy writing?
One day.
Because you do crack some jokes, so you could probably.
One day, a man walked into my little hovel, and he's a Hollywood prince. He's a scion of a very distinguished family that.
A producer?
Who produced a lot of...
The Adamskys of Alpena, Michigan.
They did things like Some Like It Hot in the Apartment and so on and so forth. And...
Oh, you came to offer you a job?
No. I find people jobs. I write resumes.
Oh, that's right. You write resumes, yeah.
So
you were getting him a job?
Kind of. He just wanted... Something to have as a bio resume. So, and he was very skeptical that I could do this job for him. So I always start with a summary. So I wrote
I call Hans Phillips. He's a local life coach and business coach here in Santa Cruz. He can set you straight.
So I started a summary and I wrote a producer. But then there was another A from an earlier document there. So it read AA producer. And he looked at me and he said, AA producer? And I said, this is Hollywood.
This is Santa Cruz.
AA, AA?
AA producer? Alcoholics Anonymous?
I said, this is Hollywood. And then he was putting in my hand because he realized that, you know, I had something. And he said, you know, he said, that's what you have to do.
AA on the air.
That's what you have to do. And you know, the School of Humor, I mean, I just, in fact, talked to a writer, a Hollywood writer who has made money selling scripts, and he does things like The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, you know, it's easy to make people laugh. Maybe it's even easy to make people cry. But great comedy, which is really the soul of drama, comedy français, is to make people laugh and cry at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you gentlemen listening to my drivel.
Well, we just came here to drivel ourselves.
Dribble on.
Well, you know, and
that's what free radio is about.
It is, but you know what?
But nothing's free.
I actually, today, you know, I worked on...
We do pay dues here and take donations.
I'm donating my work with
his wife, Lee Lavitaire.
Today I worked with Michael and Toe, who actually sells watches. And
want to buy a watch?
Well, and
what's
and
up,
she
Doc?
Had all these qualifications. You know, it's like all over the place, and I organized this for her. And I really think that all of us, we are extremely gifted people, but we are all over the place.
It's the system.
Well, no, it's
we
not
don't reach
system,
our
it's
full
us.
Potentiality in the system.
We have met
that's
the enemy,
the way
and it's
I
us.
Always
so
heard
if you
it
if you just
be.
organize, you know, see what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about what you're bad at.
That's right.
Like having an ex-girlfriend that even wants to take half your cell phone. You know.
Well, you know, I've been through it. You know, I have a PhD and I went through an excellent education and I blew it and I've had destructive women and all of that. But at the end, it's a matter of having some kind of, for yourself, some kind of organization. Something.
Some kind of what?
Organization.
You know what?
Well, he's right.
Let's organize this.
An organized homeless bum. I love this.
Well, you know, what Robert De Niro said in The Taxi Driver, organize myself.
That is true, though.
You talking to me?
Well, I'm assuming that not everybody has it the way they want it, because I know I don't.
Nobody has it the way they want it.
Well, it should be better for everybody.
It could be better for everybody.
Well, let's make it that way.
If you just throw all your stuff into a shopping cart, nobody wants to steal anything from you because they think it's half of its garbage, you know? That happens all the time. You can't have anything nice on the streets, you know?
I think Kavika hid his knife under like a huge pile of garbage at Peace Camp.
Yeah, you know, who knows how many
the cops found it though, because they went through
how many weapons are really out there. You know, the mind is the most powerful one, as we know. But
you got me arrested this morning.
Oh boy,
that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like
you got arrested this morning.
Detained.
Oh, that's not the same. That's
detained.
A Terry stop. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, well,
that's
why
you always ask. Like, am I free to go?
I'm gonna burn this place down. I'm going to burn the radio station. Now watch. Can't do it. No more false detainments, guys. Hey, Jay, what's your name? Jay Stewart or something? Whatever your name was this
it's
morning.
A tough name to remember.
Yeah. The redheaded guy. Yeah, we met, I think, a couple different times.
Oh, no, you're talking to somebody. I was talking about the guy. Are you still with us?
I'm talking about the cop.
Many years ago, I walked into Catalyst, when still there was a Catalyst.
It's still there.
I think there was still the hotel lobby.
It's a rock
I mean, reggae
concert bar.
This building
Moody Blues played there. Stephen Stills
like
played
a hotel,
there.
A residential hotel, and then half of it became like Catalyst.
This is like 40 years ago.
Huh.
Yeah, where all the bikers used to come and the hippies and
there's
the Iranians.
Still some hippies, but not as many as there used to be. I'm not sure what the Iranian situation is.
And the Iranian, I sat there with my titular lady friend, and I was smoking.
On Pacific Avenue. Well, you can't do that anymore.
Oh my God, we smoked our hearts out. We smoked in classrooms and cafeterias and everything.
They're nice when they
You're talking about tobacco, too, right?
Tabaki. Lark.
Yeah, all right.
Lark. Yeah, well.
And
it's all I smoke is pot. So if you see me smoking on Pacific, it's marijuana, folks.
You can't smoke in the studio, though, other than marijuana.
I heard, and John Baez was on the sound system, and somebody, one of those grizzled street people said, "Would somebody kill John Baez?" And I knew that was
John Baez.
And I knew that was the end of her.
Isba.
She's fabulous.
Was,
is, still, I don't know.
Always will be.
Always will be.
But you see how precipitous was her fall, like within a year, when she went from Woodstock to nowhere. And I think because of what that
she
guy
retired.
Said at Catholic.
She didn't go away.
Yeah, sometimes
she's living a good life.
Sometimes the media
it.
Has a way of, he died a penniless man.
No,
he
but
was
but
a
she,
great
but,
actor.
But, no.
Dick
but
York.
Joan Baez, the worst thing that she ever did is that she made fun of my tie. True story.
Was it a bow tie or?
Oh, I'd make fun of your tie if I ever saw it.
And it happened in your favorite city, Fresno, because in my criminal career, I also have a BA in journalism from Fresno State. So.
You plagiarized journals?
I owned that school, man.
She came there. I met, spoke with Joan Baez, George McGovern,
wow.
Ralph Nader, you know.
Hey, Ralph, I voted for you in 2000.
Big fish in a small town.
Yeah.
But I sat with Joan Baez, and I said, if you're so anti-establishment, why do you release your LPs on CBS? And this totally took her by surprise.
Well, Barbara Streisand can do it. Why not?
What did she say about your tie?
Dog,
what did she say about your tie? Come on, let's hear the exact words.
I said, if you're so anti-establishment, why do you release your records on CBS Records? And she just looked at me, and she went totally incoherent. And back then, in the 70s, we wore those very wide, garish ties.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you know, and some people wear these ties.
Oh, she didn't insult you directly. She just said some people.
But I mean, the tie is a phallic symbol. So she came very closely to insulting somebody.
So, I mean, I'm assuming here you didn't get a tie job from Joan Baez.
She came to insulting something even more precious than myself.
Well, if you go to the Cattleman's Restaurant up there in Sacramento, if you let them cut your tie off, they'll pin it to the ceiling, and you can get a 21-ounce prime rib dinner. You know,
that's Max of Sacramento, and I have.
Well,
a
I don't
very,
know where these places are. Somebody put me
very,
in a car and take me there.
I have a very precious memory of Sacramento when I had been in the country for just 1 year.
It's beautiful,
and they from Monterey. They took us to a field trip to Sacramento. And on the way, we stopped at UC Davis. No, I'm just in the country. I hardly speak any English. MPC, nice place. And then UC Davis, and they showed us the pigsties. And I said, what the hell? You know, why would anybody want to go to school here? There are pigs here. So, then we went to Sacramento. And we were guests of this family.
And my kid went there for a week, paid his own way.
And they were like journalists because I was studying journalism. And they gave us a wonderful dinner, and we spoke about you know, Ronald Reagan just had been elected, and we spoke like, is he Reagan or Reagan? And it was very sophisticated. But then they put me and the other guy who was from Thailand in their kid's bedroom with all the toys and it was horrible. It was the most horrible night I've ever lived in my life. And by 4 o'clock, I actually tuned my transistor radio to the farm report. And when they said hog bellies, I felt emancipated. Oh, my God, there is still hog bellies.
Well, see, that's because they didn't have free radio in that town.
I know, but this is why I'm tuned to you. So then the next day, we actually went to Reagan's office.
Yeah?
We went there.
He's credited with being the source of the homeless problem in America.
Reagan was really good.
He was the baddest man in the world.
But so he had anyway, that sprayed on hair or whatever he had.
Yeah.
We have all crowded into
Big Bob's Pizza, you know.
To Ronald Reagan's antechamber. And he refused to meet with us.
He refused to meet? Why? Because there was a guy there with a funny tie?
No, because we were, a bunch of goddamn foreign students. So he sent an aide.
I'm going to say hello to my friends over at KSCO. You're non-professional looking
a Reagan
future
aide?
A Reagan
friend.
Aide, a total pot-bellied political, and he sat on the corner of the desk.
Well, you got to love Sacramento because there's a judge up there that I was in court one time for drinking in public, I guess it was. And he goes, "You're from Carmichael?" And I says, "Yeah." He goes, "Where is that?" I go, "That's where they moved the governor's mansion onto Ironized Cody's land." And wasn't a very nice picture with the last Cherokee chief going across the I-80 bridge, you know. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. That's funny because I can relate to that. I grew up there. So
he's sitting on the corner of the desk, and I appreciate your anecdote. And then he looked at us, and he said, "Shoot!" And we all stared at him because we couldn't speak any English. So anyhow, it all goes to show. Oh, by the way, on that trip, I wore a tie. I mean, my life in ties. But this tie I had bought, I bought it here. It was made of artificial fur.
Fur tie?
From the pigsty, right?
Maybe. It was like a beige tie, and it was made of fur.
Okay.
And I really thought that this was the height of fashion.
What kind of ties are you wearing now?
Well, you know, this has actually been my bone of contention because I'm not going to take a lot of clothes with me tomorrow.
Are you
going to
wear a tie?
I'm going to take a single neckwear. Now, one of them is a silk, pardon the expression, ascot.
Did you move that, from ties to ascots?
That my mom, look, 1985, I am dead broke, Iranian hostage crisis, terrorist, I'm in this country, I even don't have a leg to stand on, and my mom comes to visit me from Iran, she stops off in Paris, and she buys me this silk ascot.
Well, of course, Joan Baez probably called her up and told her to get you something like that.
An Hermes ascot, which I still have. So I don't know whether I should take the ascot or actually a tie. So there we go. It all comes around.
Why don't you get one of those old Ronald Reagan-style silk ones, you know?
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan...
Well, he did introduce Reagan cheese to California, and that was that fed a lot of people. That really did. But I think,
by the way,
we don't have any supplies for our military troops now. You know.
By the way,
when 99 cent stores.
I went out to run for my health. I fell down and dislocated my shoulder. And they took me to the Ronald Reagan Medical Center at UCLA.
That's true.
And yeah, you should see this place. It looks like a hospital in a Kubrick movie. Unending hallway. They took me to emergency. You have your own private room in there.
Yeah? But do they spray paint your hair black when you leave?
Well, this is spray paint. That's like Ron Popeil.
Well, he always had that goofy hair. It just looked like it was made out of plastic or something.
He was an Irish man. You know that book, What the Dog Saw?
Hmm?
Say what?
There is a book called, it's called What the Dog Saw.
What the Dog Saw?
What the Dog Saw.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I saw.
Well, and it's a collection of essays, and one of them is about Ron Popeil, who actually created the spray-on hair.
Gotcha.
And all the Vegematic and rotisseries and stuff, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Well, you know, they have those Gias, you know, where you can actually grow your plant hair, you know, or grow some plastic hair, you know.
See, now that's what Donald Trump needs. Instead of using these, you know, foreign-made toupees.
Let's see if it's real.
Oh. Yeah, it's very much
real.
Well,
I'm always jealous of people with hair. So, let me see. My God, now it's 9 o'clock. And I have just revised my screensaver, and I'm seeing the big
6 to 9, according to our clock here at the studio.
We're 6 to 9. You must be in a different time zone there in L.A.
I am seeing the big speed
Everybody there is.
And I've the hills of Big Sur.
How's the weather like down there?
You know what? Around 3 o'clock, this afternoon, I felt indignant. I said, why is the sun flooding my apartment? Why am I warm? I don't need an overcoat. Why am I still wearing a t-shirt? And it's almost December.
Welcome to the greenhouse effect, where it'll be beautiful weather until we're exterminated.
Well, no, but look.
Well, it's nice enough down there you can just wear the tie, the Reagan hair.
In this situation, we live and die by the snowpack on the Sierra at the end of April. And it hasn't changed in a century. Now, I know Al Gore is going to come and strangle me in my sleep tonight, but it's not that easy. You know,
No. Your neighbors are going to come and eat you in a few decades because there's nothing growing anymore.
That is... No, actually, you know, I don't know if you lived it also. The drought in the 70s in California.
Mm-hmm.
There was a magazine cover that showed that California had turned into a desert. I mean, and it was much worse up in Monterey where, you know, people wouldn't even flush toilets.
And it was around 77 or so.
Yep. And, you know, we are under the illusion that somehow we can control things. But I think we aren't even an afterthought in creation. Sometimes I think we are an abomination.
Yes, we are our own worst enemies.
Of desolation.
Sometimes a bad accident.
Communication.
Sometimes a joke. But here it is. Think of what rare creatures we are. What circumstances had to come together to make us. And put a phone in my hand and put you in Free Radio Santa Cruz. Mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling doesn't even begin to...
Let us begin.
...describe it in the vastness
begin anew.
In which we are.
Here's
and
to
also
you.
Our end. Today I read a piece where they have actually identified genes that correctly anticipate the hour of death.
Hour?
Hour, depending on the sleep habit.
Oh, it's not the day, just the hour?
The hour.
That
people with certain genes wake up at certain hours.
And die?
And then they die a.m. and the other ones die p.m., like around 6. So it's either 11 or 6.
11 in the morning or 6 at night?
That's it.
When do I get a break?
Either die after breakfast or dinner. So if you just eat lunch, you could live forever.
But you know, live forever with mapping out the genome and basically turning off the death gene, which may be as easy, finally, as turning off a...
There's a reason we die.
The light. I know.
Because we're in the fucking way.
But they'll take care of that. Americans don't like dying.
It's un-American.
But only the rich can use it. If we all live forever, we'd be completely screwed up. We'd be way overpopulated.
Well, we are screwed up anyway. So we'll,
that's true, but we'd be way. I said way.
Way.
We're just moderately screwed up, especially since the moderate candidate, more moderate candidate
who
won.
Wants,
we'd be seriously screwed up had Romney.
Stay homeless, really.
You know what?
Not me.
There's all those empty houses the banks are just sitting on. Make them fucking cough them up. Why did we bail them out so they can just sit on empty houses?
But if I walk into one, I get arrested.
Humanity is moving towards a phase where there is no death, where there is no money, where there are infinite possibilities.
Sounds like Star Trek.
Sounds like a homeless shelter.
You can make whatever you want. Well, that's why. That's why it captures the imagination. And that kind of, you know, crappy TV show that lends its name to a space vehicle and all that. So, you know, we're moving there. We're moving there. So it is a privilege. Oh, Tony Bennett wrote, I listened to Tony Bennett on public radio. He has written a book called Life is a Gift.
Yeah.
So, it's a privilege to be alive.
Tell Tom Hanks that.
Oh, my God. It's a privilege to have spoken to you fine gentlemen. Thank you for letting me into your show.
Outstanding.
And now I am going to go and eat a little bit and go to sleep so I can face the challenge of tomorrow.
It's a long, long airline ride. You can take like some sleeping pills or something.
No, well, actually, I'm going to go there and just sit around and read.
Read,
and then it's a 10-hour flight. So,
going to wear your ascot for 10 hours.
No,
drink a couple bottles of wine. That should help.
I'll put that in my suitcase.
In case you run into Joan Baez, you can show her you've changed your ways.
But when it's all said and done, I'll be there when it's 2 o'clock California time, and I'll just think that I had a long night, and I'll go to sleep.
Don't mess with the cops there, because they're fucking got machine guns in France.
I'll leave you with something to think about on your plane ride. There's something wrong in the world when Gilligan and the rest of the crew can have their backdrop in a studio, but they really do drop Tom Hanks off in the middle of the ocean to make his movie, you know. But think about the oxymorons there, because LA is a beautiful place. I just came through there. And props to the wonderful bus drivers and so forth that got me safely back up here to Santa Cruz in the train.
From where?
I got stuck in San Diego. And yeah, I literally had to hitchhike and get courtesy rides through the Mojave Desert, through L.A., through Fresno, through San Jose. And
drove through it once.
I'll tell you what, I can't do that anymore. I'm 45 now. I used to be able to just get on the road with $10 and my guitar.
I have a couple, of reading suggestions for you. And if you read them, maybe, you have such wonderful stories to tell. And what you need is a way of structuring them. Now, I actually have on my desk a book called down and out in Paris and London. Do you know who wrote that?
No.
George Orwell.
Oh, really?
George Orwell was born in India, and long before he wrote the book that you alluded to when you talked about Big Brother, he came to Europe. Initially, he was in Paris, where he was penniless, lived in horrible hotels, and finally he got a job as a dishwasher in a huge hotel in the catacombs of it. And then he moved to England, where he actually was homeless, and he has this astonishing chronicle of shelters, of free meals, of bumming on the road. So this is a great book. It's called Down and Out in Paris and London. And I've read it many, many times. There is another book called Travels with Lisbeth. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And this is another work about this man who has a dog named Lisbeth, and he travels, I think he travels across the country as a homeless man, and that is also a fact, and that is really very well written, and of course much more relevant to our time. But these two books, if you read them, you may very well be able to structure your own experiences.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure, but I really think that if you've had that kind of experience and you're as articulate as you are.
And those two books again were called?
Okay, one of them is, and this is by George Orwell, none other than the person you've heard all your life about. It's called Down and Out in Paris and London. By George Orwell. I'm looking at the paperback, which is a Harvest book. This is Harcourt Brazen Jovanovich. I'm sure that they have one either at the City Library. I'm sure they have one at the...
Yeah, we got some fabulous bookstores here in town.
Or they may have it at the university library. The other
less
one
than we used to.
Logos.
Well, yeah. The bookstores are closing down around here.
I know. You're losing them too? How many people aren't reading anymore?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I have a friend whose bookstore was chosen by the LA Weekly as the best bookstore on the West Side, so I'm blessed. And the other one is called Travels with Lisbeth. And this one was written about maybe a couple of decades ago, but but you'd find it very instructive.
Did you write one about the Spanish Civil War too that's really good? George Orwell on the Spanish Civil War?
Excuse me.
Oh, now, George Orwell, you said?
I think, wasn't he part of the Spanish Civil War? He wrote a book about it?
I don't think so.
I think so.
Animal Farm?
Yeah, no, something else. But he was...
I've read almost...
I have the computer right here.
I've read almost everything by George Orwell, and he's an extremely good writer. Very clear, very lucid.
Yeah.
What was it?
He's going to make
George, it. George Orwell's 1984 or something?
1984.
Like that. Yeah. 1984.
I was thinking of the Orson Welles, though, but that caused a lot of panic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know,
bad day.
You know,
well, Mr. For writers, Welles you know. Is an entirely different story. He was among the tragic geniuses.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
And I'll
Hare
come
Krishna.
Back, and if I survive the Frenches,
God be with
you. I'll come back and give you a full report.
Well, have a safe travel now.
Thank you, sir. Thank
Go
you.
To a meeting.
My best wishes for you for Thanksgiving.
Bye
bye. Bye.
You don't do this one, then nobody else can call it. Both these have to be on the ring.
Okay.
It's kind of tricky, and then there's like one, two line here, and the ringer thing's on the side. I set it in the middle circle.
Hmm. Sometimes Wikipedia. Flash. I know how to do that much.
Yeah, you can get songs off YouTube and stuff.
I guess I can learn.
So this is looking like it's up to about an hour and a half now. So
I got to get back to the ranch.
Yeah, hour and 40 minutes. So these get to be huge files and hard to...
Yeah.
So I can imagine the amount... sit through a whole hour and 40 minutes.
It's actually a long time if you think
about it. How long have we been doing this now? An hour and 40 minutes?
I've been recording, yeah.
Huh, about that.
And very, very interesting.
It's difficult. I mean, if you're doing a conversation, it's easy, but it can be difficult to come up with 3 hours worth of material.
Yeah, that's it.
Every week.
So. This
somebody
is easy.
Knock on the door?
Yeah, somebody knocked on the door. I could do this.
It's like a Mr. Rogers show.
The price just went up for radio, actually. Free radio is now $35 a month if you want to get your own show. You can fill out an application and make a demo. These guys are making a demo right now. They're going to do their application. Or if you know a DJ, you can get a DJ that knows you well. Then you can just show up at the meeting with that person. I'm going to get the door now.
They got me locked in again.
You guys can just keep...
Been in bomb shelters all day.